Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I am in Thailand currently.
And I'm not.
Natalie's still in the cold, cold ass Chicago, but I'm sending you warm vibes.
I wish I was in Thailand though, because today I thought I got frostbite on my face. That's how cold it is in Chicago. Okay. Literally 10 minutes of exposure. I had to take my friend's dog out. She lives in this building and she's out of town. And I was like, why is the tip of my nose like almost brown? If I could just leave Chicago, that'd be really great.
I know. Meanwhile, I am across the entire world and it's like 85 degrees here. It's so nice.
Don't tell me that.
I'm currently in a treehouse. It's like a two-story treehouse, and I'm literally 50 feet away from the beach, and it is literally my dream because I'm 35 and I deserve this.
You really do. The fact you are 35 in a treehouse, 50 feet from the beach, what a dream.
What a life. You know, I was thinking about birthdays recently, and it's so weird that like you celebrate your own birthday, but I think moms should be the ones that should be celebrated every birthday. Like I didn't do shit to exist. It's my mom who did everything for me to be here. She should be in the treehouse.
Yeah. Where is your mom? What's she doing?
In the cold Chicago tundra.
I'll take care of her. Don't worry. I'd be like, oh, your daughter all the way. And where are you? Chiang Mai?
No, I'm currently in this small island off of Phuket called Goyo Noi. We're on this like beach location now. It took us a plane, a car, and a boat to get here. But we were in Chiang Mai before this, and it was very like jungly vibes. It was so much fun. I have to tell you something crazy that happened. The very first car that we booked in Chiang Mai. So essentially it's called Grab and it's just like Uber in the States, but here in Thailand, they call it Grab. Like even the UI, everything looks exactly the same. And as soon as we sit in the car, he's like, hey, are you guys going to this temple? And shows us like the map of where we're going. And we're like, yeah, that's what the destination is that we put in. And he's like, okay, well, you know, I'll take you there and I'll wait there 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, however long. Well, I'll wait for you there. And afterwards, I can bring you back. And I was like, okay, that sounds like top tier Uber service. It's Grab, but I was like, this is so great. And afterwards, he's like, okay, well, can you just like cancel the trip on the app and just pay me the money in cash and I'll take you there? And I was like, I looked at my sister and I was like, absolutely not, right? And she's like, no, there's absolutely no way. Like, just flashbacks to Taken, the movie, kept coming up to me. And I was like, wait a minute, I can't do this.
Yes.
But can you believe that? He was just like, just cancel it because Grab takes such a big percentage of the money. I'd rather just have the cash. And I was like, no, bro, like, how do I know you're not going to kidnap us?
I feel like I've experienced that even in the city of Chicago, right? When I call an Uber and the driver is like, can you actually cancel and just like pay me out of pocket? Because a big percentage goes to Uber of the ride. I feel like as a single woman, I just couldn't over safety. Like I like that my ride is tracked in a rideshare app, whether it's Uber or something else, Lyft, whatever. Did you know this? My grand uncle actually was murdered in a taxi in New York City.
What? Yeah, I don't know what people did before Uber and like this technology. And they didn't even have cell phones at the time. So they're probably just like, hey, you know, using a landline or like a payphone to be like, I made it to the next spot, you know?
If I do take a taxi, I have my parents, someone on Find My Friends track me. So I was like, I just always need to be tracked. But after one of my grand uncles was murdered in a taxi, like after that, I was like, I need my ride to be tracked no matter what. And if I was in Thailand, I think you made the right decision. I just couldn't do it. You know, like you're on a different time zone. You can't ask your parents to track your location. I just couldn't. I would just be like, no, I feel safer. My ride being tracked in the Grab app.
The empathetic piece of me was like, oh no, like that is a really big percentage, because he literally showed it to me on the screen and was like, yeah, like about 500 to 600, you know, bot is taken out. And I felt so bad. I was like, listen, he looks like such a sweet guy. There's no way he's going to kidnap us.
You're like, are you going to hold me for ransom? Listen, my parents are so frugal. They're not going to pay out. Okay. I was like, I'm the wrong person. I was like, you think you could put me up for ransom? I was like, try calling my dad. He's going to be like, let's negotiate. What's like $100?
You know, what's crazy is like, even though I'm across the world, my mom is still tracking everything that we do because she's just 100%. A worried little girly. She's like, oh my God, you're in Thailand. Like, who's going to protect you? But she's like, hey, I saw that you stopped in the car. Like, are you good? I was like, mom, it's like 2 a.m. What are you doing up? Go to bed.
My parents do the same thing. When I was on my solo trip, regardless of what time zone I was in, my parents always made sure at the end of my day, I was back in the hotel.
Yes.
You know, and there was like movement every day. So like, you know, they know movement. I'm alive. But also my parents still do it like essentially every day. They like make sure that I'm home, or they have an idea where I am every single day, which is actually kind of crazy now that I think about it. If I'm not home by like 12, my mom's like, what are you doing? Like, not saying go home, but she's just like, I'm just curious.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to lie. I don't share my location with my parents because I don't know. I just don't. But as
then how'd she know you were paused?
Because I have my sister, girl. Oh. My sister be sharing everything. She's like, mom, we just had breakfast. Mom, we're heading to the pool. Mom, we're doing this.
Absolutely, me, not 100%. So much. Oh my God. No, you have to do it. I read this thing about like safety tips if you're women traveling, which is so sad to say. Like, but honestly, I do feel like, unfortunately, the reality is women, I don't know. It's, I feel like less safe to travel as a woman, depending on like what country you're in. But just generally, I feel like, because men are interesting.
Yeah. That's why I love it here, though. It's like just so safe, especially in Chiang Mai. It was like extremely safe. But no, you're totally right. Is if I was like flying solo, like when last year when I did that solo trip to Costa Rica, I was checking in at all times. But here when I'm with my sister, I just know that she's going to check in. So I don't need to. But
there you go. There's at least one responsible person in the group.
Exactly. You know, that's all you need. One is the fun one and one is the, you know, making sure everything is going okay one. But no, that whole car situation was a little bit crazy. At first, I was like, oh my God, am I going to be taken? But it ended up being so innocent and it was completely fine. So I just like threw him some extra money on top of it because I felt so bad that the app was taking so much from him. I was like, oh, sir. And he waited at the top of the temple like almost an hour and a half for us. Yeah, I think he just was a kind, kind man. But anyways, lesson, don't go off the app.
Yeah, or have someone track you.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Me and my sister did a Thai cooking class and we met some of the most incredible people ever from so many different countries. And there was this older couple that we met and he was there with his stepdaughter and one of her friends. One thing that he told me that really stuck with me, and this is just why I love traveling, because you just meet so many cool and unique people. But he was like, if there is anything in life that you want to do, just go and fucking do it. Just embrace it and just say yes. Then he followed it up and was like, I lost my son to cancer a few years ago. And ever since that happened, I've realized how fragile life is. And you just need to seize every opportunity because you will never regret it. And I don't know, it just like all of us were sitting down and listening to it and it just hit us so hard. And I was like, oh my God, this is so sweet and so cool to be able to meet people from all walks of life. It was just amazing.
I love when people remind you that anything can happen in life, so you have to seize the moment. Because I always forget. I'm very like risk adverse. And I will say I don't take chances or opportunities. Yeah. I kind of just like stick to what feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. And after some time, I will regret things like not doing certain things. I just feel like that's always a reminder, like say yes to as many things as you can.
His whole like outlook on life was really cool and just a good reminder that life is fragile and it's very short and at any moment, anything can happen. But I think the craziest part is meeting so many solo travelers. They were like headed to Vietnam next. Some of them, literally this couple that we met, quit their jobs. Both of them quit their jobs to travel for 6 months. And I was like, oh, okay.
Couldn't be me. I wanted to be me, but I was like, listen, I love my home.
I know.
I love having laundry available. I love having 20 pairs of underwear to choose from.
What I realized is I love having a home to go back to. Like, I love traveling, but I need to go home and touch base at home first before going to the next location.
100%. I don't want to live in a hotel for 6 months or hostels or whatever you're doing. Yes. When I went on that 3 month long solo trip last year, I just took a carry-on with me. So I left for my solo trip when it was in February and it was colder. And then I was going into May. That's when I ended solo traveling. And obviously it's warmer. And I was like, I don't have like enough clothes. Like I was like, what do I do? I don't know. It was just really tough. And I remember thinking, it's like, God, I just miss my coffee machine. I miss my dishwasher. I miss just grabbing a snack in the middle of the night instead of, I don't know, like trying to find a place to get us, like all those things. I was just like, I just wasn't meant to travel for long periods of time. I'm a homebody.
Same. I always thought that I was the type of person that could just be like a nomad, like have a backpack and just like, you know, just beach bum it and just go from place to place. But like, as I'm getting older, I'm like, there's absolutely no way I like to do that. Like, I like my own bed. Like, sleeping on different beds has just been a whole whirlwind of thing. But I guess what's really cool about these solo travelers is that they're getting off the hamster wheel and just like taking the risk and being like, yeah, fuck it. Like, I'm going to quit my job and I'm just going to go explore the world. I'm like, okay. Do you think that could be you in your 20s at least?
No, I would never quit my job and explore the world. I just couldn't. Yeah. It just like isn't, I'd be like, I need a job. I feel like I need to make money right now. I couldn't. I'd love to, but it's not relaxing.
Yeah. Like the stability is not there. But I just thought it was really cool of these people because they were all in their 20s. So they're just like exploring the world. But one of the girls that we met, her name was also Divya, which is the same name as my sister. And we're like, what in the world?
Crazy.
Crazy. Such a small world. But this girl, Divya, was saying how she was staying in a hostel. And she said that the night before, this guy just randomly woke up in the middle of the night and just peed everywhere.
Ew.
And she was like,
Did she share a room with him?
They were in a hostel, so it's like a shared situation. And she was like, I was just really, really happy that he didn't pee on my stuff. He peed on someone else's. And I was like, this is exactly why I could never do a hostel. There's just no way. There's just no way.
No. I mean, I would love to do a hostel because of the social aspect, but I couldn't because I feel like there'd be so many complaints against me. Like, first of all, I'm a big ass snorer. I will share hotel rooms with like family members and friends. And afterward, they'll be like, we're never sharing a hotel room again. Do you know how loud you are? And I was like, no, I didn't even know I snored. So I don't know like how badly I snore, but I know that I do snore. I also, I don't want to say this because I feel like I'm going to be diagnosed by our pod besties with something, but I do use the bathroom very frequently during the night. And when I say frequently, I mean like twice. Okay. but I feel like that's a lot.
As an adult at the age of 34, you should not be getting up in the middle of the night.
I'm 33, bitch.
Twice. You're about to be 34 this year. So I went up.
The reason why I pee so much in the middle of the night is I have to chug like 24 ounces of water before I go to bed. Like, I know people are like, don't drink water 2 hours before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Can't be. Nope, not me. Not me. I'm a big like because I was like, I don't want to be dehydrated when I sleep. I already sleep my mouth open. So I was like, I don't want to be like, you know, get like too much of a dry mouth the next morning.
That's actually kind of crazy that you say that, because I'm the same way. You know how you're supposed to drink like, I don't know, what is it? Like 64 ounces of water, probably more than that. I don't drink water throughout the day ever because I just am a dehydrated girly. And then I'll remember it at the end of the day. And I'm like, damn, I don't think I had one sip of water today. And I'm just chucking.
I know. That's how you could go on plane rides and not pee for 9 hours. Remember?
Yes.
You told me that. You're like, yes. Is it crazy?
No, I do that on purpose.
Deep D one time texted me being like, I was on a 9-hour plane ride and I didn't pee once. And I was like, that is a medical issue. Okay.
No, it's not. I remember that task so well because me and my friend both got window seats in the same fucking row and neither of us got up for the 9-hour duration.
That is so crazy. I don't think that's a big bladder. You're just dehydrated.
No, I mean, look, I do it on purpose. I don't like to drink water. I just don't like to get up because I want the window seat. And like, it's so awkward being like, ma'am, can you get up so I can go to the bathroom? I just like don't like that.
That's why I do aisle. My biggest fear is truly feeling dehydrated. Like I just can't. Like I must be very hydrated at all times. I must have water in my vicinity. Like without it, I start to panic. And I was like, I need water.
That's hilarious because on this trip right now, we're like, it's all like a beach resort, right? And I'm not going to lie to you. Anytime we sit down, we just order drinks. There's not water in our vicinity whatsoever. And I'm like, I look over at my sister. I'm like, we should probably get a water at some point.
My family and I are going on a cruise in March, and this is our second cruise ever. The first time we went on a cruise was probably like 20 years ago, which is insane. So it's still all very, very new to us. I don't even know why we signed up for one, but I think we're just too lazy to like, you know, create our own itinerary for anything. Anyways, you could get a package, like all included package. And it's really expensive. It's like $100 per person per day. And we were like calculating it and being like, is it worth getting it? Because, you know, we all probably aren't going to drink alcohol on this cruise. But we calculated how many water bottles I'd probably drink on the trip. And we're like, we need that package. we need that package because I know I'm going to have at least 12 water bottles.
That's crazy because for the price of the cruise, you should have 100 water bottles a day included for that price.
No, if a water bottle is $4 on a cruise, I'm getting my money's worth by, well, it also includes like Wi-Fi and like, you know, specialty dining.
I love a good cruise, actually. I've been on quite a few. But,
really?
Yeah.
You struck me as a cruise person.
Girl, I love me a cruise. Actually, my friends love a cruise. I did go on that Disney cruise last year and it was so much fun. I forgot how fun they are.
But would you prefer just like booking a trip somewhere versus going on a cruise? My thing of why I feel like you're not a cruise person is I feel like you're really active on trips. The days you're at sea, like you're just on the cruise ship. But I was like, I feel like you're more of like a hiker. You want to go out and like really explore culture and you like can't do that as much on a cruise, you know?
I do enjoy it because there's a lot of activities to do on a cruise. Like there's like entertainment and there's fun. Like literally there's clubs in a cruise. It's like a floating city.
The cruise we're going on, it was labeled as one of the most boring cruise lines. It's Princess Cruises. The average age is 65 plus. Everyone's in bed by 10 p.m. And I was like, sign me the fuck up. I was like, this is the type of fucking cruise I need. So there's no clubs. I'll be in bed at 9 p.m. Okay. Like the moment I saw this review where it's like, listen, everyone's like older. The only activities on board are kind of like pickleball and a Zumba class. I was like, this is my shit.
A Zumba class.
Yeah. Okay. I love Zumba. Okay.
Zumba on a cruise ship is insane, though.
You heard it here first. I love Zumba. I love a good salsa, even though I can't really do it well. I love Zumba, but I can't dance, so I wear a mask. The 0.02% chance someone might notice me, I just can't handle it. So I was like, I just have to wear a mask. But I love Zumba.
I just imagine you with all the retired people just being like, hey, just exchanging life memories.
That's my favorite crowd. When everyone's like 65, 70, that's the type of vacation I want to go on.
Wait.
If there's too many people my age, I was like, go away. I was like, this is not relaxing. I was like, leave me alone. You guys are talking too loud. Who's having a cocktail at 11:30 p.m.? Everyone go to bed, okay?
Wait, that's exactly what this treehouse resort is like. There's a lot of retired couples here, and they are just simply the best because they keep to themselves. They're not loud. They're just
indoor voices.
Indoor voices.
No one's screaming around the pool. Everyone's very like, you know, just having a poolside cocktail.
Exactly.
That's it.
And it's all couples. It's literally, Natalie, let me tell you, it's all couples here. So like when we went to dinner last night, there was literally just couples on couples on couples. And then it's me and my sister. And we're like, I looked over at my sister and I was like, do you think people think we're together? Like we're a lesbian couple. And she's like, no, we look too similar. People think we are like twins.
That was like,
and
I was like, you guys literally look like sisters. I don't think anyone's going to be like, they're a couple. You guys 100% look alike and kind of act the same.
There's also a lot of gay couples here too. So it is like, I am loving life here. It's so much fun. And I never want to leave. I never want to leave.
Those types of vacations are my favorite. Like no one's getting drunk off mimosas at 11 a.m. Everyone's using indoor voices near the pool. Like no one's yelling. No one's being like, where's Sean, my kid? You know, it's like, no. No one has their kids on board. Like that is relaxation to me. I don't care if that makes me like an old person. I don't care. That's
no
what I love now. Isn't it crazy? Just a few years ago, I wanted to get like drunk in the club.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. As soon as I turned 35, I was like, oh, bedtime is 9:30. That's what time we've been going to bed. I wake up at 6:30 a.m. and I go to bed at 9. Like, I love this lifestyle.
100%. But going back to cruises, there is a whole world of people who love cruises. Who love cruises. You guys, I signed up for cruisecritics.com. I created an account just to look at the message boards, like what people are saying. And there's a whole fucking world. I was direct messaging with someone who's been on 275 Princess cruises.
That's crazy.
This person was giving me all the tips and tricks. If any Podbessie is into cruises or have been on Princess Cruise, please send me your tips and tricks. Like I honestly don't even remember the first cruise I've been on. So this feels so new and I want to I don't know what to do on a cruise.
Yeah, because you don't drink. So what the fuck are you going to do?
And I don't even sit in the sun anymore.
No, same. Yeah. You better take lots of books.
I don't even read. I was like, so what do you do?
Watch some TV. Catch up on Love is Blind.
Speaking about Love is Blind, season 10 was announced. It's coming out February 11th. How crazy.
I cannot believe this is the 10th season. And I'm just so surprised that they picked Ohio. I for sure thought it would be Boston.
I did too. And I was actually really excited about Boston because I used to live there. And I was like, I love the Boston crowd and being single in Boston. Let me tell you, it's a fucking mess. So I was like, oh, like I hope it's Boston. I was shocked about Ohio too, because I feel like a lot of the seasons, at least the US seasons, have been based in the Midwest. I think a lot of it has to do with cost. For me, I'm just surprised that they're doing so many Midwest cities.
No, it's kind of weird that they are doing a lot of Midwest, but they already have Boston filmed. It's more just, when are they going to release it? You know, and you know, they always save the better season for Valentine's Day. And then they save the lesser of the two seasons for the fall. So should be a good season. I don't know.
I actually do believe that theory. That the better season always comes out in February in the springtime. And then the not so great season always comes out in the fall. I saw that the entire cast was released and the women, amazing, accomplished. Most of them are 30 plus. I think you have a good like variety of professions. I like how diverse the women are on the cast. The men though, there are some allegations about a few of them that have started to come out. If you look at the comments on the Love is Blind Netflix Instagram page, there's some comments under the cast photos, and the allegations against some of the men are not good.
Yeah, I saw that also. And it's so crazy how quickly it happens, because literally within days of the cast being announced, there's already all sorts of allegations against the men. And am I surprised? Absolutely not. I'm not shocked at all, because I feel like this happens every season. And I guess the only part that's surprising is how quickly it's happening and how quickly these men are being outed.
I feel like the last several seasons, the men that have been cast aren't great. Like, there's always something about someone. And I feel like it wasn't like that in the earlier seasons. And I feel like the men in the later seasons, I don't know, there's always something that comes out about a few of them that aren't good. Like, they're like pretty bad.
No, for sure. I don't know. It's just so weird, because something about Love is Blind, but it attracts a unique set of people, specifically a unique set of men. It's like, because women, I feel like women who sign up for the show or want to do it, they're like, oh my gosh, I want to fall in love. I want to get married. It's like that kind of energy. But the men, I don't know. It's a unique breed of men.
Oh,
it's just.
Yes.
Again.
And Ohio, listen, something about Ohio, like something about single men in Ohio. I don't know. There's something in the water over there. I dated someone in Columbus. Strangest man I've ever dated. I'm not going to lie. This is recent.
I forgot about him.
Yeah. Yes. And he actually was in the casting process for this season. He told me, like, once we started dating, they ended up ghosting him, but he was just very interesting and not in the best way. And listen, I'm not saying every man in Ohio is this way. I mean, my best friend lives in Ohio and her husband is probably like one of the best guys I've ever met. Like, I adore him, but the single men there, I don't know.
Something is up with them. And one of my best friends also lives in Columbus, Caitlin, who was on our season of Love is Blind. She was out a couple weekends ago and she met some of the cast. So, you know, I can confirm that there is at least one couple that is still together, but I don't know. I'm excited for this season. We'll see what happens. But I just have a feeling that because it's season 10, it's like a, you know, milestone season. I feel like it's going to be juicy. I feel like it's going to be drama filled. And at the very least, it's going to be entertaining.
I hope it's entertaining. Listen, I know there's a lot of hate towards season 9, but you got to admit, that was an entertaining season. That was crazy. I mean, obviously none of the couples made it. And so I think from that standpoint, you're like, what the fuck? But
yeah,
there was some characters on that. Like, that season really opened up my eyes to the fact that, like, people like this exist, you know? Just
exactly.
And not in like a good or bad way, but more like, oh, I've never seen a personality like this on reality TV.
Exactly. And at this point, like, let's just face it, we're 10 seasons in. We know that love is not blind. So let's just get some entertaining, fun, unique stories in here.
Yeah.
And let's meet some weirdos, because we all are.
I will say what has been very interesting is I think Love is Blind is kind of losing its appeal. It's kind of getting into like that Bachelor territory where there's like a peak and then it's slowly getting into a downfall. And less of the fact that the seasons are getting like less interesting, because I actually think they're becoming more interesting. But I think like people aren't being like bought into the cast members anymore. Like, I kind of noticed the Instagram growth of the cast members from season 9 and they're not high.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of like on the lower end. And not saying that's like a priority. I'm just thinking, like, for me, it takes me a really long time to remember who was on season 7 onward. Like, I don't remember their names. I have to like really think about it and look them up.
I completely agree with you. I think we were talking about this a few weeks ago and I like could not remember people's names, but that's just a personal thing for me.
Like, do you remember Ben? Someone DM'd me about Ben and I was like, who the fuck is Ben?
Speaking of Ben, why do I remember Ben? But
who's
speaking
Ben?
Of Ben, Ben was with Sarah and Sarah is with Joey.
Oh, yes.
Girl.
Yes, yes.
Wow. I could
Oh my God.
We need to do Love is Blind trivia.
We'd win.
It's weird. No, I want to win. But wait, I actually, you know, going back to the whole thing of you saying how this new cast, like the new seasons of Love is Blind, isn't getting as big of a following. I'm kind of into that. I like that they're not, because then it kind of makes it more authentic, or the people that sign up know, like, hey, you might not be able to quit your job over this. So maybe like only go if you want to find love, you know, like it makes it a little bit more authentic.
No, I think people still go for the attention. I think people do love like the attention of being on reality TV and being like talked about. I think that like there is a subset of people who really love that. And like, those are the people who are going to do these types of shows now. But yeah, like I think it's more like it's getting to that point where when there was fewer seasons, you could really remember like main plot points in a season. And now I can't, like, I can't tell you what happened in season 7, 8 or really 9.
I remember like what some cities names, like that were in.
Yeah, like I remember Sparkle Megan, obviously, and
that was recent though. Sparkle Megan's recent.
Season 7. Who is
like, I remember. Yeah, seven. What was season 5? I don't even know what season 5 was.
That was Lydia Uche and
what city is that? I don't even know what city.
Oh my God, what city is that? What city is that? This is going to bother me. What city is it?
What city?
Hold on.
It's not Minnesota.
Dallas? No.
No.
Austin? No, no, no. Who's the Houston? No. It's Houston.
Houston. Houston, we have a problem. And
No one got married that season, but Lydia and that other guy did. Milton.
You know what's crazy is why don't they ever do like an LA season? I feel like LA would slap.
I think that LA would cost a lot of money to film along with New York City. I don't know if you remember this, but when they were casting for season 2, our season, they had casting notices for New York and Chicago at the same time. So I think they were choosing which city to film in. And obviously, they ended up going with Chicago, but I heard the reason why New York City didn't work out is because it cost so much to film in New York City.
Yeah.
I think same would be LA.
See, that's the thing though, but like LA is so different because when we first film, the first 2 weeks in the pods are in LA anyways. And LA is such a hub for Hollywood that I would assume that it's like not that expensive to get approvals to film anywhere in Hollywood. So I don't know. That's why I'm like, New York City, I totally get, because it's harder and more expensive to just, you know, be out and about.
I think it's like state costs. Like, that's why a lot of people film in Atlanta, because Atlanta doesn't require you to pay filming taxes or something like that. Like, your production company has to pay the city itself.
Mm. Well, speaking of Atlanta, I heard that the season 10 reunion is going to be filmed in Atlanta because they're bringing back a bunch of participants from previous seasons. So that's going to be an interesting watch. They're probably going to have like a live audience again and really do it up for season 10.
I'm very excited for this next season, especially because I have so many mutual friends with a lot of the cast members. One of the guys actually was a groomsman in a wedding where I was the bridesmaid. So
random.
He's my best friend's husband's best friend.
Such a small world.
I know. So my best friend texted me saying, like, what are the chances that two people from my wedding party are on Love is Blind? I don't think he'll actually be on the show. Like, he left during the pod stage, but I just thought, I was like, crazy. And then I was looking up each of the cast members, and I have at least one or two mutual friends with them, whether they're like old coworkers or like people I went to college with. So very excited. It's very Midwestern.
It's so crazy that you say that, because obviously I saw that there was a baddie on this cast. So I immediately went to her page and messaged her. And we also had mutual friends. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, how do you know these people? And they're like friends of my brother's. So I was like, this is such a weird small world.
I have mutual friends with her too.
Yes. And she like has some friends in Chicago too. And I'm like, how do you know people? Like, I'm just confused. Like, where in Ohio have you been? But anyways.
I saw this clip on TikTok and it's like really uncomfortable. So Marcelo Hernandez, who's a cast member on SNL. He was on Dax Shepard's podcast. And Dax says to Marcelo, if I was 28, I'd try to date Sabrina Carpenter. Like, why aren't you trying to marry her? And Marcelo says something along the lines of like, well, first, I have a girlfriend and she's unreal. Like, she's amazing. She went to Yale. She's an architect. And I was like, what an uncomfortable question, first of all. But second, what an amazing response.
I feel like Dax has been in weird situations like this on his podcast. Like, after seeing the whole thing with Cher and how uncomfortable he made her feel, like, I just feel like he's a terrible podcaster.
Wait, what happened with the Cher thing again?
He literally asked Cher, if you could set up Kristen with anybody, who would you set her up with? As if, like, he's not married to Kristen. Like, it's just, like, such a weird question to ask somebody.
That is so strange.
So strange.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of backlash on what he said to Marcelo. I think mostly because people are like, Dax, you're married. So why would you say, if I was 28, I'd try to marry Sabrina Carpenter? Like, that's so weird to say. And also, like, weird. Super uncomfortable. Is it because, like, you think she's pretty? Like, you don't know Sabrina. So, like, ooh, is it just, like, they're like, why are you saying that? But I was thinking, if my imaginary boyfriend was asked the same thing, like, what he would say about me. And I was like, I actually have no idea. What would he say? Like, oh, yeah, Natalie's unreal. She went to Loyola University Chicago, which is a top 200 university. And she's frugal AF. And she blabs in a mic all day to her best friend. Like, amazing. I was like, my God.
He's like, and she did this really cool reality TV show, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy she didn't find love.
And she also sleeps at 9 p.m.
My favorite compliment that a future boyfriend of mine could ever make is saying, I could see her being the mother of my children.
That's actually such a good compliment. No one has ever said that to me.
I don't think anyone has ever said that to me either, but they probably thought it.
What do you think your boyfriend would say about you? Like, what would you want him to say about you, realistically?
Oh, again, she would be the most amazing mother to my children. She is the most empathetic, kind-hearted human being I've ever met. And that bitch can cook.
That bitch can cook.
Honestly, top-tier compliment. Cooking. Yeah, her cooking is so good.
You know what's so crazy is I want a boyfriend who would say that about me, but I don't think he could ever. He'd be like, she can't cook. I don't know if she'd be like a good mother to my children, to be honest. And she's very pessimistic. And she's sometimes empathetic. It really depends on who it is. What I'm trying to say is, should I become an architect? Should I apply to Yale?
That was, oh my God, what the way he was talking about her made me so happy and restored my faith in chivalry and men, because what a beautiful man for saying that. By the way, Pod Besties, if you haven't watched his Netflix special, it is so fucking good. Please go watch it. I was dying laughing.
Oh yeah. He's like on the rise. Yeah. I feel like he's just, this is his year. This is his year. He's everywhere. He's all over my socials. His Netflix comedy special got really good reviews. And we love to see it. We love when a short king rises.
And to top it all off, he brought his mom to the special and like had her introduce him. It was just, love that. I love a man who loves his mom.
I love men who are so close to their mom.
Well. Actually, now that we say that out loud. Yeah, what's the closeness, actually? We don't...
I saw this video where this woman gave birth and she's like, this is my mother-in-law and my husband. And the husband is being cradled by his mom and like sitting on the mom's lap and like they're sharing a blanket. And I was like, look, I'm all about men loving their moms, but not like that. Like I was
not like that.
Hey, I don't need that type of bond.
Or, oh my gosh, have you ever seen those videos where they're doing a gender reveal and the husband, after the gender reveal, doesn't run to his wife, he ran to his mother. And I was like, ew, may that love never fucking find me.
No,
thank you. It should be a healthy relationship.
Yeah, like not codependency.
Like, yeah, no. Exactly. Like, get off the teat.
Speaking about moms, though, so there's a clip of Jacob Elordi. He's on the red carpet and he's chewing gum and he realizes like, oh my gosh, I need to spit this gum out before I go take pictures. And so he spits his gum into his mom's hand, who was on the red carpet with him. And this clip is going viral because people are very divisive, like on how they're reacting to this clip. Like some people are saying like, ew, that's disgusting. Like, why would you do that to your mom? But other comments are like, oh, it's like moms do that. Like,
yeah,
you, who else would you give your gum to?
Exactly. Especially on the red carpet. Like, what am I going to do? Spit it out like onto the carpet? Like, no. Yeah.
Or like give it to your assistant. No, you're going to give it to your mom.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, no matter what age you are, your mom is your mom. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, honestly, if anything, probably his mom appreciated it. She goes, not my son chewing gum while taking photos on the red carpet.
And, you know, a mom loves to be wanted and needed. So she's like, the fact that she's like, oh, my son needs me in this moment to do this for him. She is finding so much pride and joy in that, that she's just so happy. One, she gets to be on the red carpet, and two, helping out her son like this. Like, what a dream.
No, I was thinking about that, though. Like, I feel like regardless of the age you're at, like, your mom is still your mom. Even me being 33, my mom still treats me not like a little kid, but she wants to take care of me. She'll drop off groceries for me. She will, like, still take care of me. Like, when I was getting my eggs frozen, I mean, my mom kind of, like, treated me like a baby. Like, I was like, this feels so nice. Yeah. Like, I'm literally a 16-year-old when I go back home and stay at my parents' house. Like, I don't help with the dishes. I was like, I don't have to cook. Like, my mom does everything.
Absolutely. Same with my mom, too. Like, at no age do you stop being a child to your mom. And if you really think about it, there is no one on this planet that loves you like your mom loves you. And it's so apparent. I become a child every time I'm around her. Like, even before we left for this Thailand trip, my mom like is like, did you do this? Did you do this? Like, there's a whole checklist. And I looked at her and I was like, mom, like, I am about to be 35 years old. Like, stop treating me like a child. Like, 'cause, you know, I'm obnoxious, and said that to her. And she's like, she looked at me and she goes, you do realize that you're never going to stop being my child, right? Like, I'm always going to be your mom. So sorry, but I'm going to worry and I'm going to say these things. And I was like, you're right, mom. You're totally right. I appreciate you.
Have you ever seen those videos when a woman gives birth and her mom comes into the delivery room and goes straight to the daughter instead of the baby? Like, she checks on the daughter first. And the captions are always like, you're always going to be your mom's baby first.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, let me go check on my baby. Oh, yes.
I know.
I think it's so cute. Even when the dads do it, I think it's so adorable. I think I've seen the videos where the dads go straight to their daughter and it's like, ah, it melts your heart.
I literally sob watching those. Like, I saw one recently where the daughter gives birth and the mom enters the room and she goes straight for her daughter. And she's like, you did such a good job. Like, are you okay? And like completely ignores the baby.
Like, oh my God.
But it was one of those things where she's like, she's always going to worry about her baby first. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh my God. Like, how cute is that?
I know. And that's why I'm so excited to be a mom someday, because I feel like I don't know unconditional love like that. Like, mom's love is just so special and pure that I don't know. I want that for my life. I'm like, oh, I want to experience that.
Because the love you give now is conditional. You're like, oh, listen, mom.
It sure fucking is. I'm like, mother, you're smothering me. Leave me alone. And I can't quite understand why she loves me so much. I'm obnoxious.
I was like, cook for me or I'm going to stop loving you.
Yeah. Where's my mail? No, I'm just kidding. I would never.
No, literally,
but
yeah. If I was Jacob Elordi and I was on the red carpet to you and I had to spit out my gum, it's going in my mom's hands, okay? Like, where else would I put it? My own hand?
He is so close to his parents, though, because I recently saw a video of him doing an interview and the interviewer was like, is that somebody in the mirror behind you? And he's like, oh yeah, that's just my parents. The lore that is Jacob Elordi, though, should be studied because he's such a gorgeous man.
Elordi.
Elordi. Oh my God, you're so punny. Improv classes are working.
This improv is really paying off.
Okay, but did you see all of the clips that are going around with Margot Robbie and him? Like, do you think it's a PR stunt of why they're acting like they're in love?
It's like a big topic right now. Like, people think that Jacob and Margot are in love. They're at the height of their press tour for Wuthering Heights.
What the hell is Wuthering? What is a Wuther? I've never heard this word.
You're asking the wrong freaking person. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. They have matching rings. And then Margot said recently that she became codependent on him while filming. And I was like, what? What is going on? Because Margot, your husband is literally the executive producer of this movie.
I saw that clip of her, and I've seen other clips of him also explaining like the closeness that they have from this movie. And you cannot tell me that they aren't actually in love. Maybe not in love. That's a little extreme, but I'm sure that they've caught feelings. Both of them are so attractive, and they're in this like intimate ass role together. I absolutely think that there's feelings there. Like, obviously, they'll never admit it, but you cannot tell me that feelings don't grow on a set like this, especially when, like, there's so many intimate scenes and you're saying all these things. It's like a natural human response to fall for it. I don't know.
But they're also filming other movies where they're in a relationship or, like, you know, have a love story. So, like, are you saying that they're, like, also in love with those co-stars too?
I don't know, but like in my head, I just think like, obviously when you're working on projects and things like that, you go in and out, but there's some people where the chemistry is so unreal that you cannot deny it. And I'm not saying that that exists with every single coworker, but like say for this movie specifically, they probably have so much chemistry that even when they're doing their lines and they're reading, like, yeah, it's a movie, but maybe there's some feelings there. You just never... I just feel like there is, though. With these two, there's something
I don't
weird.
Think so. I think they have no chemistry. I think it's... This reminds me of the Anything But You press tour, where they act like there's things going on, but there actually isn't. But they're doing it to, like, create hype for their movie. But imagine being Margot Robbie's husband, who was on set as they were filming, and he's probably watching this being like, what's going on, guys? Like,
I just feel like, don't you think like actors,
I could
directors,
never. I'm too insecure.
Yeah, they're just on a different playing field, or like they're a different breed of human because this is their day in and day out. Like, I bet you anything, Margot Robbie's husband does not give a fuck. He's like, I already know they're probably in love, but they'll fall out of love after the movie ends. It's fine. We're all
or
good.
He's like,
it's a phase.
Listen, he's making money off this movie. So he's like, no, keep it up. He goes, let's go. Keep act like you're in love. Act exactly. like you're in love during these press tours. So I was
pretend.
Like, he's like, we need to get some hype up, okay? Like, we need
but
people
no,
to believe.
That's exactly my thought, though. Like, do you fake it so much that eventually it starts to become real a little tiny bit? Maybe. It's human nature.
People are calling their behavior, like, during the press tour, it's called affair baiting, where they're acting like there's things happening, even though at least Margot is in another relationship. I mean, that happened on Anything But You with Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney. Both of them were in relationships during the press tour for that movie, but they were fueling rumors like there was something going on between them. Like, they would act really flirty and cozy in paparazzi shots and like in behind the scenes videos. So it feels like that's what Jacob and Margot are doing, like affair baiting, just to create hype for this movie.
Regardless if they're doing that or not, if you think about Anyone But You, Glenn and Sydney are both single after that. So how much of it was real and how much of it was fake? We just will never know.
Yeah, like, but they affair never baiting or ended not. Up together. They
yeah,
never ended
but-
up together.
That doesn't mean that there wasn't something there. A little physical chemistry goes a long way.
Well, speaking about that, Glenn's girlfriend at the time, Gigi Paris, she went on a podcast and talked about why their relationship ended. And she said it was because of like all that romance speculation between him and Sydney Sweeney during the press tour for Anything But You. She said like the fact he wouldn't shut down those speculations was like the final straw. Like that's why she broke up with him. So it obviously like really impacted her. Like she was definitely the position of a partner where she was like, this is like not okay. So I always wonder what like Margot's husband feels like just like seeing people speculate like there's something going on with like Jacob and Margot, but also he's tied to this movie. Like I wonder if he's like, no, this has to happen. Like we got to make some money.
But that's also why like a lot of Hollywood couples don't last, because just think about like there's just so much like I don't know. There's just like so many variables to being in Hollywood and being in a couple like that. So, I mean, it makes sense as to why success rates of Hollywood couples are pretty low. But I don't know. Yeah. Just could never be us.
If I had a partner who was an actor, I was like, the only movies you can do are fucking horror movies and you die within the first 15 minutes. Okay. You don't have a love story. There's no like big romance. Like, fuck that. I was like, horror or nothing. Okay.
Like, yeah. I don't have the personality to be with somebody in that world at all. There's
I was like,
no
you're going to have a sex scene with someone? I was like, I don't think so. And then I'll probably watch it and be like, we never did that.
But you know, after watching the interviews of Heated Rivalry and how they talked about the sex scenes, the fact that sex scenes being filmed are so unsexy, and I'm like, you know what? That's completely fine with me. Where's the intimacy coordinator?
I always think about that. Like, imagine like pretending to have sex or even like making out with someone in front of like a whole production team. Remember our reveals on Love is Blind? When we would have to kiss our fiancés at the time in front of like 10 cameras and like 30 people, like, production staff, like so uncomfortable. I remember being like,
so uncomfortable.
Oh. Yeah. Like my lips couldn't move. I was like,
this reminds me, Jackson White. He is, the main character of Tell Me Lies. And he was just on a talk show and he was talking about how the producer had to call him in and talk to him about his thrusting in during his sex scenes and how he needs to change the way he thrusts.
Stop.
And, like,
stop,
fake thrusts. And I was like, wait, imagine having that conversation. I'd be like, so sorry, but this is how I normally thrust. But if you have a problem with it.
And they're like, wow, I didn't know I was doing it wrong this entire time. Or I looked that bad where you're making me change it. Oh, I would die inside.
I would die. Especially because he's also dating his co-star. So it's just like so funny because she knows how he thrusts.
That's another example of love on set. Oh, you're totally right. But
and dude, they're so attractive together.
I could never. That's why I need to date like someone in like a remote only job. I was like, you're not going to office. You're having no other interactions with any other female.
Actually, I've realized this about myself, but because I'm an Aquarius, I love my alone time and I need my alone time. So I think the perfect profession for me would be a doctor. Be like, he's probably gone most of the time. Like, you know, I'll take care of everything else at home, honey.
I'm sure the days when he gets called in, you're like, thank God I have the whole house to myself.
Yes. I'm like,
you're like, thank goodness.
I love you, honey. And I'll make sure dinner's ready when you're home, but I'll see you in 12 hours.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, you got called in and you're going to be working a 36 hour shift. That's crazy. And you're like, oh my gosh, my dream. Well, Pod Besties, let us know what you think about the new cast of Love is Blind season 10. And have you ever been on a cruise? Because I need your tips and tricks.
And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye.